Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our deep dives, our Bacta Tank of Talk. For this particular Bacta Tank session, we are going to slosh around in the joy of May the 4th. We are throwing a May the 4th party. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsack. I'm always sloshing around, and this is going to be a lot of fun to do it in the Bacta Tank.
Before we get sloshing, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Brotherhood, the new Kenobi and Anakin adventure by author Mike Chen. We're going to be reading it and discussing it eventually here on Force Center. But if you would like to give it a listen, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for that free audiobook. And with that, we are going to get celebrating. Over the last several years, May the 4th has really become Star Wars Day. Literally, it's also called Star Wars Day. If you don't want to say the actual pun, May the 4th,
you can just say
Star Wars Day. It is a celebration that has now become embraced by Lucasfilm and obviously by a ton of fans. We're going to discuss what the celebration means to us and throw a little Star Wars party right here on the podcast. Ken, in researching this episode, I discovered this on Wikipedia because I had you know, said over the last several years. And I was like, wait, by that, do I mean like a decade? How long do I mean when I say over the last several years? So I looked on Wikipedia if it had anything really about the origins. And it had this fun bit of information. Wikipedia says the phrase, may the fourth be with you, dates back to at least 1979 on the day Margaret Thatcher was elected Britain's first woman prime minister. Her party took out a newspaper ad in the London Evening News that said, may the fourth be with you, Maggie. Congratulations. An entirely different context of that pun. Obviously, in 1979, may the fourth be with you is floating. And you know, you can find some people with opinions about Maggie Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, if you look.
I'm a fan of Paul Weller and the band The Jam. They have some thoughts. I'm surprised they didn't write a song about that use of that. Wow, that's quite an origin there.
Yeah, that is amazing. For me, Ken, I really I remember it really emerging in those kind of earlier days of Twitter, where at least the way that I saw Twitter and the way I used it, it was a little bit more let's swap jokes, and the pun was there, and it really grew into a celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my memory of it as well. And the fun thing is, as we have this discussion today, we've just been doing 4Center for fortunate to do for so long now that I think our own relationship with the holiday is changing. I'm so happy to discuss it now than even a couple years ago. But yeah, that's kind of where I remember it. And it just looking on Twitter or Facebook or something and going, what now? Huh?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Maggie Thatcher?
Why are we talking about this joke from 1979? Oh, got it. Yeah. And then obviously all the companies become involved and really make it a thing. So my first question for you, Ken, is what do you think is the value of having a Star Wars Day? And along with that, is your experience affected by the fact that Star Wars is part of your life every day?
Yeah, this is a real... This particular year, I think, is where I get to look back on my thoughts on May the 4th, even last year, years before, just inside 5 years. Because I used to discuss here and hold to the idea of I don't need a day. I celebrate it every day. So take your little happiness and shove it up where the sun don't shine like a Star Wars a-hole. Like I was always like, I was really against this day for a long time. And it just, you know... As you mentioned already, I'm such not a fan of puns, and I know you maybe, I don't want to speak for you, maybe share that feeling sometimes as well.
I like wordplay. Sometimes the direct pun is not for me.
Yeah. And so I just was always grumpy about it, which is not a great starting point for Star Wars celebration, of course. But it's changed to the point where even I think this year, currently, right now, I'm enjoying it as a day to proclaim your love of Star Wars. While social media has made that a little bit harder over the last few years, and maybe longer than the last few years. But you know what I mean? We're now it's almost like it's the old, you know, it's so not punk, it's punk again type of thing where it is a little, it is needed to have an excuse just to be like, I love Star Wars and this day allows me to say that.
Yeah, I think that's what I've really come around to of the, yeah, I've never a big fan of puns, and it did start out as this, like, that's funny to say May the 4th because it's a pun, but then it grows into this true celebration, and I think the value of it is certainly, you know, marketing and promotion. It's fun to wonder what, you know, shows might premiere that day, like, or what... promo might come out or what fun weird merch might come out. That stuff is all really fun, but it's also, I think, a chance to build community, right? Mm-hmm. To share jokes and hopefully affection and favorites and see what people are excited about, you know, right now. You know, that's the way I'm trying to embrace when I'm thinking of this May the 4th. We are releasing the episode on May the 4th, but are recording it ahead of time. I'm kind of excited to see, like, what's the tone? How many of these tweets are going to be about excitement for Kenobi? How many there are going to be about Grogu? How many are going to be like people really sharing their favorite Padme moments? Like, how is it going to present itself? That's really fascinating to me. Mm. And I also just think it's a measure of the fact that cultures change and evolve, right? Even when we were growing up, there was still a little bit of an expectation of, okay, put the childish things away. And I think other generations did it up to a point, but I think Gen X was the big breaking point of like, no,
yeah,
we're taking our toys into adulthood. And now we're even you and I have talked about a ton about how, like, we had these awkward steps and moments towards embracing our fandom as adults, whereas generations younger than us, it's just what you love has been a part of who you are and how you find people to connect with on the internet. And the fact that it's not just Star Wars Day, Star Wars isn't this one weird thing. You know, there are multiple Twin Peaks days that people celebrate, you know, the premiere of the pilot, we celebrate the day of Cooper arriving in Twin Peaks. Star Trek has First Contact Day, the day that in universe Earthlings met Vulcans for the first time, and as well as many other. I was looking up Batman Day. Batman Day just started for his 75th anniversary, and it is the third Saturday in September. It's scheduled like Easter. It's not even a specific day. You know, so it's just, it's not, it's Star Wars. We might focus on it. It might make a lot of noise because Star Wars is noisy, but so many fandoms, this is a way to have it be a part of our day-to-day life, a part of our culture.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And it's easy to get cynical about these kind of things. It has become such a day where, you know, you do wonder, you know, what shows or what marketing. It's not, I'm laughing because, like, Investor Day is becoming like a Star Wars holiday or a Marvel holiday, which really it shouldn't, but it's fun. And I think it's okay to celebrate things that provide any kind of fun in Star Wars. And this one is just a huge, huge tidal wave of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because of that, I'm really wanting to embrace it because, over the last few years, sometimes my relationship with it is odd because get to celebrate Star Wars every day. But I think in the last couple of years, I've had a couple of times where, like, I'm too busy to celebrate Star Wars because I have Star Wars work to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just silly because, like, sometimes it's like I'll see on Twitter people being like, I just decided I'm going to watch this movie, or what the hell, I'm going to binge all of Mandalorian season one. And I'm like, I have to finish reading this book and I have to prepare this and I need to do, like, which is a silly thing to be upset about exactly how you celebrate. I just want to find a way to celebrate in a way that makes me happy.
Yeah, look, I mean, here we are, we're recording Force Center today, and what did I do over breakfast? I just put on Revenge of the Sith. Like, so Star Wars is always here. And I think that can, if you're not careful, that can breed some of the, I don't need a day for it, and it's now a marketing day. And I understand that. I've experienced that, as I've confessed here today. Not the case this year. Whether or not put some out or tweet some out, that doesn't really matter. But now I'm just going to be like, why would I be upset that there's a day to celebrate this thing that I love?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And also, there's a ton of people who deeply love Star Wars, and this day helps them make it a part of their day, right?
Correct.
So I also want to be sure to ask up top here, do you ever wish that Star Wars Day was the actual anniversary of the release of Star Wars on May 25th, or is it simply time to let that go?
It is time to let it go. Very much. I think this also factors in some of my, like, early, like, we're talking when people were on, like, Friendster saying May the 4th or whatever, where I was just like, that's not the day. That's a pun. The day should be May 25th. I definitely maybe pounded a fist on a desk a couple times for that. But I think I'd like that it represents a day not associated with one particular anniversary, one particular time, or one particular era. We can celebrate that May 25th date all the time, every year. You know, we can absolutely look back to A New Hope and the other movies released on or around that time. But I just, with so many generations celebrating Star Wars now, I just like that there's a general date. I'll even forgive the pun, but just all the eras are represented. We're not talking about one particular movie. We're not talking about one particular entry point into Star Wars. We are celebrating the entire franchise. May 25th can be over there. May 4th is for all of us.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way I feel of, like, you know, applying Star Wars lessons to this Star Wars discussion. Like, hey, yeah, if I was like Anakin and Attack the Clones, it's like someone should just sit down and make everyone agree.
Yeah.
If I got to decide, I'd be like, maybe it's more elegant to have it on May 25th. Sure. But I think the reason that I'm wanting to let that go is, like, that ship has sailed. There's nothing wrong with having two different celebrations, having the big public May the 4th has become Star Wars Day, and then you can have a different celebrate May 25th, however we want to, for all of those various anniversaries. There's also just something about the spirit of Star Wars of, like, as a group organism, that humanity can be. This just sort of organically grew out of a joke into something more real. And why resist something that organically happened?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. Very Star Warsy.
Yeah, very Star Warsy. So moving on, letting go. What is it that you're enjoying the most about modern Star Wars May the 4th celebrations? Is it the possibilities of nudes dropping? Is it the general positivity on social media? Is it an excuse for yourself to buy things? What do you enjoy about the day?
This is why I can no longer be cynical about the day, because the fact that it might have turned into a marketing day, not for us, but for the companies, right? For Disney, Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be like, oh, it's like people are like, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. It's a made up holiday. Well, I just always grew up with that already existing. So I wasn't there the year someone was like, we now do Valentine's Day. I don't want to have that approach for Star Wars here, because the thing to answer your question, Justin, it's the potential of trailers or news that Disney or Lucasfilm might look to this day to really drop something special for fans. Whether or not we create those expectations every year, different story. But I think now I love that, because it is kind of like you all kind of look to the skies for the bat signal, if you will. You look for the Kenobi full trailer or a new show announcement. Again, whether or not that actually comes, whether or not that is actually more about our expectations versus anything companies have said, I just think I love that, because it's a party and we're all waiting for there to be a knock at the door. And Kenobi trailer walks in, Lando trailer walks in, more of the Acolyte. Like, that's, I think, now what I love more than anything.
Yeah, is Wrecker going to burst out of the cake to announce the premiere date of Bad Batch Season 2? Yeah, I think I'm with you. One of the biggest things is the news dropping. I think I stumbled a little bit when I said that in question form and sounded like I was saying, do you like Star Wars May the 4th because the nudes drop? News drops is what I was saying. I don't need any nudes. But yeah, the excitement of what might be revealed that day is really, really there. For me, it is nice to have the purchase excuse. I try to contain myself. I'm like, it's May the 4th. I've been looking at this action figure for a while. It's only $15.
Right.
Why not? Why not let the spirit of May 4th be here with me is a very nice, very nice thing for me. There's also like a ton of products that are, even if they're not revealed, they're discounted. I was looking on the StarWars.com website, and the list of places that are going to have discounts is really long. And some of them are like, yeah, it's video games or books or audiobooks. Great. But then this is like a fun way to really revel in the weird and the fun side of Star Wars, just right, with some of the products that I did not know existed. I found this set of four Star Wars bars of soap from a company called Dr. Squatch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know the Squatch, huh?
I don't use Dr. Squatch, but they have their commercials ran on every YouTube video for like a year.
Okay, I must not, for some reason, it bothers me that the algorithm doesn't think I use soap because I've never been shown this ad.
No. This sounds like we're doing bad stand-up bits, but it's the other way around. They know that I need to be tricked into using soap by having like man names on, man names with your soap. Like, it's silly. It's silly. So you're in a good spot.
Yes. Yeah. Pay the iron price with
yes,
stone soap made of dragon gizzard. Yeah, but this is just, it's amazing with the names. I'm going to, the Dr. Squatch Star Wars soaps. There's a picture of Kenobi, and it's called Only Hope Soap. Then there's a picture of Yoda in its Wisdom Wash. And then Vader is Dark Side Scrub. And finally, Maul is Ruthless Rinse. There are a million jokes to make, some of them deeply inappropriate.
I'm looking at it now.
Right. There's just a joy in the, like, hey, put a Star Wars on it. Like, that's just always been a reality of the merchandising. And, like, I don't need this soap, but I want it.
This is truly put a bird on it here, Portlandia at its finest. This is amazing. I'm looking at it now. I use Dollar Shave Club. I'm brand loyal. I don't know if I can switch to Dr. Squatch. I don't know here. But this is fantastic. Oh, my God. What are the choices that went in with the thought process that went into these choices, Joseph? Like, I want Jabba. I want Chewy. I want Malakili. Those are the soaps I want.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you're designing Star Wars soaps, are you asking yourself, like, who would smell nice versus who really needs soap, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs this? Like, I'm sure Padme, you know, smells great. I'm sure Lando smells great. Like, the kind of characters who are, like, portrayed as taking care of their bodies versus, like, does Han have a natural musk? Is that part of his Solo luck that he just smells good or...
Always smells like he just ran to get there. Yeah, you know, does the Vader soap come with like a Vinay reaching broom, like reaching stick? Like, what do we got here? Yeah, this is fascinating.
Does Maul dab some cologne on his neck? He's like, I'm about to meet those Jedi. I'm about to fight those two Jedi. I'm going to make sure I smell intimidating.
Do I smell like spider? Because I've been down in the drink a while. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I'm sure a Lotho Minor soap was definitely needed. I mean, that was part of the magic that Mother Talzin did is get rid of the smell.
And then, we could do bad stand-up bits. Yours are killing here. But just the fact that this is licensed, which means at some point someone in the story group gets this on their desk. And Matt Martin is up there going, yeah, Ruthless Rinse, that checks out. That's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he'd be ruthless. Yeah, for sure. They come in a little display case, at least this image does, with all four of those characters, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Vader, and Maul with lightsabers out. It looks like they're just posed with like the heroes and villains of the Star Wars galaxy say, wash your bleeping body.
And again, not designed for five-year-olds. This soap is for adults.
No. So that's the kind of stuff that I love on May the 4th. It's just utter, utter spirit of fun and celebration, right?
That's the best. Oh, my God. And yes, I'm considering adding this to cart. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. This might be an old cart ad on actual May the 4th when we get there. So I wanted to ask you about this. How would you feel if like parts of society embraced it as a true holiday, you know, take the day off, specific foods, if it was expected that you and your Star Wars loving partner would exchange gifts on this day, is that like, you know, we're in this very interesting place to me where, like I was saying, I think pop culture is becoming more of a part of how we interact with other people and tell them, you know, who we are, what we like. And it can be pop culture, or sometimes it could be more like a style of film, right? People can be like, I'm a real horror fan, right? But enjoying a kind of storytelling can be a part of our identity. But do you like that still being like, that's still a little to the side of, you know, Arbor Day or probably, you know, a more spiritual holiday?
Look, I'm fine with it overall, but I think it would need to be Life Day. I think we should just go in on Life Day and transition a lot of things over to there. But, you know, May the 4th has the, shall we say, purchasing power behind it. It has become that thing, as we just were talking about Star Wars soap for 5 minutes. So I think it. Some people might say it's more real than a Valentine's Day, right? Which I always just say, hey, whatever. It's a day to celebrate the concept of love. That ain't half bad. Let's just roll with it. If that means we order in a pizza shaped like a heart, great. I'm good with that. You put as much as you want into it. So I'm good with this. It's already seeming to be that in so many minds. But you're talking about days off from work, a paid holiday. Sure. Let's do it. Let's do it.
That would open up the floodgates, right? Talk about Star Wars versus Star Trek when people are like, okay, well, fine. Then First Contact Day is my day. I'm not. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be intrigued by that. And to me, it would be a fun way. I think I want to keep it. Your Valentine's Day comparison is really great, right? That is a holiday that is, you know, causes some consternation, absolutely kind of the starting place of what is now the sort of joke structure of they just made up this holiday to sell X.
Yeah.
But it is something that some people choose to embrace. Like, you probably aren't going to be able to say, like, I'm so sorry, I must take Valentine's Day off, right?
Right.
And just have that be like, of course. But then people choose to celebrate it in the evening. My wife and I usually celebrate it exactly the way you described, with a heart-shaped pizza. So if on Star Wars Day, we could always celebrate with a BB-8 shaped pizza.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Which would be great. That's just a large pizza and a small pizza on top of one another.
Just melded together. Love
just
that.
Just meld those pizzas together. And I love what you're saying about Life Day. That makes even more sense to me. Mm. Now, people can choose to celebrate Star Wars Day and Life Day however they want. But Life Day is the one that's already kind of set up in Star Wars as a is a spiritual holiday. So that would be interesting to lean into that of like, who are you going to help on Star Wars or on Life Day? Yeah. How are you going to celebrate the light on Life Day?
Absolutely. You got to sing the song. You got to play Carrie Fisher's rendition of it and sing along. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Wear big red robes. I'd do that. It'd be lovely.
Perfect.
Hey, wear a slanket. Yeah, I'd love it. How would you celebrate Star Wars Day if it was embraced a little bit more as a holiday, or if you just decided in our household it's a holiday? What kind of traditions would you want there to be?
So what I would do is watching one movie from every trilogy.
Ooh.
Solo, Rogue One, they're their own thing. You can choose to watch those if you want. But I think from the trilogies until more choices are out there, I think that's what I would do. Again, you're asking me. I shouldn't worry about what others would do. Lightsaber duels in the backyard. Fortunate to have a backyard with some swinging room. So I think we maybe have some fun saber fights. And then there was actually my computer auto-corrected. It said find the port, which means apparently we're going to search for some port wine. But I find the porg. You get little toy porgs that can crack open with toys and treats inside. Hide them in the backyard, and you got a porg hunt. Well,
I really like porg hunting or port hunting. Yeah, like you find any port in the storm on Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
I think if I was just going to be like, okay, ask my wife, like, hey, are you okay if we really observe this? We have some years. Like, there was one year that we rewatched the sequel trilogy, and we set it up so that we would be finishing watching Rise of Skywalker on May the 4th. And a friend had very kindly gifted me some wine from the Skywalker Ranch, and you've been holding on for that for a special day. So we, made the choice to open it. So that was just like, I think a lot of people do that of like, what are we going to watch? Yeah. But if I was talking to my wife and like, leave work early. You got to get here for sunset. We're going to have some special Star Wars cocktails. My wife has devised a couple of those. But if I was going to try to do something that was maybe a little bit more trying to get into the themes of Star Wars, which we celebrate so much. We're like, we love the fun. We're joking about the soap for half the episode. But there's something about, I like the idea of like writing a hope down, maybe even a hope about something that you're really struggling with.
Ooh, yeah.
To just remind yourself that hope is a possibility. And then I looked it up to verify they exist. I don't know they're officially licensed, but you can get lighters that are lightsaber hilts.
Oh, perfect.
So write down a hope and burn it with a lightsaber lighter.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. They got that cool thing at Galaxy's Edge, right? They got like a tree or something, like a wish tree or something like that. That's great. I think you could go put that in your own backyard or on your patio, your balcony, whatever you got. That's great.
Yeah, I think at this point in our world right now, all times, but right now, anything you can do to reconnect with hope is welcome.
Well, that's just great and touching. I'll be in the backyard swinging plastic swords looking for porg eggs, but both are valid.
That was my hope, that you would have a good porg search. And on that note, unless you have any other thoughts, we're going to take a quick break.
Let me go place the porg toys in the backyard.
Okay, I'll order the lightsaber lighter and we will be back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we are back. We discussed a little bit how we process Star Wars Day, how we celebrate it in the real world, other ways we might celebrate it in the future in the real world. But I feel like the true spirit of Star Wars Day is just celebrating however a fan wants to. So for fun, we're going to imagine throwing a party in the Star Wars galaxy. Ken, if you lived in the Star Wars galaxy, what planet or space station or other place, Mortis, where would you host your Star Wars Day party?
Ooh, Mortis, that'd be a weird party location. I love that. So what we're doing is we're converting a cruiser or ship into a party bus, less stressful than Dryden Voss's The First Light. All right. Floating party in the sky, which is a reference to a beat in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in that series, the party that never ends.
Yeah.
That's where I would start. I just because I love the idea. It's a big enough galaxy. We'll go to you. You don't have to come to us.
What kind of cruiser are you thinking about? Are you thinking about like something like Falcon sized, or are you thinking like a Mon Calamari cruiser with the the moisture way high?
It's funny. I think it would start like a Falcon size, but then within 5 years, we'd have to rent a Mon Calamari cruiser. And The First Light's a great example, which, by the way, I still love the concept that, don't worry, Dryden will take his travel and party of doom to you. It's something I do like about that. I was kind of thinking, might even a good mid-sized ship like a Blockade Runner, like a Tanaviv 9, we'll just grab one of the later models and just make it into a traveling party bus.
No, I really like that because obviously the corridors turn in the Tantive 3 and 4. We get to see that. But I feel like the general shape of it, at some point, you're going to get railroaded into a big hallway, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, so when you're at the party and you're trying to go to the bathroom and you're stuck in the hallway with people, I go, hey, I didn't know you were here. Yeah, yeah.
A perfect ship to line up in the bathroom. Half the party is the line to the bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
The refreshers. Yeah. I think, I was tempted by a lot of places, but this is the weird space I went into. It's just a place I want to spend time in, and I think it's really conducive to a party. I would want to throw my party in the Jedi Council room.
Oh, yeah, I like that. High above? Okay.
High above. You know, it feels like an event space. There is a hotel that has like a kind of circular event space on like the 14th floor or whatever in downtown Minneapolis that Sarah and I looked at for our wedding. It wasn't quite right, but it was that very circular energy. And I've talked about this before. I love circular energy in general, but I particularly love it for a party. I have enjoyed many parties at various, apartments or in your version, like a space cruiser where there's like lots of nooks and crannies or that thing that always happens at a party where like Everybody is supposed to be in the main room, but interesting conversations happen in the kitchen, and pretty soon the entire party is in the kitchen. No one can get to anything, and the rest of the rooms are entirely deserted. I love the nooks and crannies party, but there's something about the circle where you can kind of see everything that's going on. You're in a special place. You're high up. You're looking out at the city. There's something about that that seems really fun for me. I would take out the chairs. I'm assuming the Jedi are okay with this. And if the Empire's there, I'm kicking them out. But I'd take out the chairs. There'd maybe be like a little stage, a little, you know, theater in the round platform in the middle of the room. And there'd maybe be like little cocktail tables, not sit down, but stand up to keep the energy alive in the party. Because if, if you can sit down too much, there goes your party. A couple seats for people who need to sit down. But like cocktail tables lining the whole circle. And I think you'd have a really good party flow.
This is wonderful. Also, this has the kind of work party vibe where you suddenly Friday, 5 o'clock hits, and then it's the holiday party and you're at your work desk, but you're drinking, which you might be doing anyways. But you know what I mean? So it'd be great to see like Opa Rancisis and Yarl Poof just being like, oh, they did. I like they. Oh, they put up some streamers. This is great. Like, I like that kind of vibe. I like that energy there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Padawans did a great job decorating.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So what would the entertainment at your party cruiser bus be like? Would you hire stuff out? Would you have a talent show? What would the entertainment for your Star Wars Day party be?
You are right. There's a danger of, you know, creating too much interest in the side rooms. You want to have a main room. And I don't really understand. And I love your circle example. It's a great understanding of the energy of parties there. I'm not a party planner in that way. So I would need to hire a Garza Fwip. I'm looking at her. I'm looking at what she did with the sanctuary. And this is a, you know, we're not worried about canon timelines and what happens to these characters. I would hire Garza Fwip. I think she would set up the right party. She would know who to bring in to set up this party, to organize it. She'd be a spectacular host. Even if some people, you know, every once in a while, someone shows up at your party that wasn't invited. There were a plus one. There were a clerical heir. They show up. She knows how to handle that just fine. As far as entertainment, I don't need... I'm pretty simple, you know, other than Porg hunts and lightsaber fights, I just kind of want Max and Figger and Dan leading the music and just playing some music, not dominating, just knowing when to stop, right? Max, Reba, and Figger and Dan know how to stop if there's problems going on. She knows how to get the music going. Play it, hit it, Max. This is what I want. And then I'll take a little bit of the Outlander Club vibe. I do love a bar party. I've been several years where I've like, hey, birthday down at the Foreman's on Riverside, come on down. I do like that. So the Outlander Club, you have a little bit of a sports book vibe, and then a Dave and Buster's video game vibe when you instead of just watching the games, you're maybe playing the games. And I can live in that world, have Garza organize all of that.
That is such a great pick. And I think that might be the best answer is I'm changing my answer from what I wrote down. I'm like, I would ask R2 to DJ.
I don't think that's bad at all.
R2 has, because you're right, in some ways that's the best of you have somebody who's either live or DJing who really knows how to read the room and help control the energy of the party, help guide the energy. Control, yes. It's maybe not a good word. I will control this party. But make sure that it's bouncy, it's fun, that the music is loud enough, but not too loud, that it stops or peaks at the right moments you know, let somebody say something. So I would have, and it would just be fun to be R2. Like, you are so resourceful. You have so many skills. Your body is full of mysteries. With how many tools you can fit in there. Do you have like a whole vinyl record case in there, R2? I think you do.
I love this.
Yeah. And then maybe if there was like just a special presentation, not the whole night, but I have to lean into my obsessions. I would want a stripped down performance, live performance that is just Lulilo Primak backed by that astromech drummer from the sanctuary.
That is amazing. Absolutely. Just some like,
yep.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just voice and rhythm. So beautiful. So stripped down. Yep. And then I had to cross the line that we always wonder about of, do we ever want to see actual stand up comedy in Star Wars, right? We get close by seeing the circus and the Gamorrean clown, which suggests that the clown is going to come out there and do some some bits. It's probably a little bit more Cirque du Soleil clowning than I don't think that wearing guard's going to be like, you know, talking about, you know, why the Ronto crossed the road, that kind of thing. But I would be very curious to have a stand up that spoke in their own language that not a lot of people knew. Like, I would hire a Kubas comedian like Garandin. just see if the rhythms translate. Like, okay, it's clear. Clea Garandin just went for the joke, but did it land? None of us know.
None of us know. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
This is all great.
Would you do is?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, would I do a set? No. Would I do a set? No. No.
Yeah. Would you hire anyone to do a set?
Dangerous. I think comedy at parties is such a bad. Oh, it can be a bad thing. You know, and a lot of. And I'm sure you, as a performer, Joseph, every once in a while you get that offer. Hey, I've got a party. Do you mind if I pay you to do some stand up? Oh no, it's a bad mix.
I got to that point. I when I was in Minneapolis, I did a lot of different kinds of theater and performance and writing, and I got hired to do many things. And it would be a difficult conversation because sometimes event planners wouldn't understand it. But I'd be like, okay, my first question is, do the people there know that there's going to be a performance? And people would be like, no, it's a treat. And I'd be like, then no. There needs to be a designated space. People need to opt in because, yes, there is nothing worse than like everybody here is having a great time talking to one another. Stop the fun you're having with the perfectly great normal human being jokes you're making to one another. For my polished set, it's death. It's horrible.
It's not my story to tell, but Mark Ellis will tell the tale of the time and early in his career, he got hired for a teenager's birthday party at like a Friday's, and he performed at the edge of a bunch of tables put together in a working restaurant. It was probably the worst gig he's ever experienced. So yes. It happens.
Yes. Comedy should never be a surprise.
Never. So to that end, no. But I want to. I think you're so right about R2 as a DJ show. A lot of people might go to Rex, who is at Galaxy's Edge. This is a close to a very real world complaint I have about Galaxy's Edge, which is this wonderful place. Can't wait to get back. I do not like going into that restaurant and having Rex's music pounded me upside the head, where I couldn't even think or concentrate on my Wookiee cookie drink or whatever the heck I was having at 10:30 in the morning, where I was drinking alcohol way before I normally do, trying to celebrate Star Wars. And it's a great vibe. And there's video. I tried to dance. It was so loud. I couldn't hear any thought. So we need to find that balance. I think R2. All due respect to Rex. I think R2.
Yeah. I wonder what made Rex crank it up that day? Because the music was nice and balanced when I went there in the 1 p.m. or whatever. Good point. So who in the Star Wars galaxy would you really want to attend? We've answered lots of questions like this about who would you take a road trip with and who's the funniest, who would be the best, you know, comedian and all that. Who do you want to live with? But for a party, and you need this party to succeed, right? You're throwing it. You want people who are going to help you have a good party. Who is on your list?
Yeah, it is all about, you know, the balance of guests, right? And you're right, there might be some, hey, this person can make some food, make a drink and everything. But, you know, when you're putting together that party, you do kind of keep in mind of this kind of energy, that kind of energy. And yes, you invite your friends. So this is a tough list, Joseph, and we might have some crossover here. I have a list that begins with Boss Nass. Boss Nass, and it's usually me three drinks in, is the get over here, look at you guy at the party. And he's just gonna, oh, we're all bombad generals here. Like, I want that energy. I need that energy. And then by that, I also kind of want Dexter there, because it's Dexter Jester's the same kind of just kind of big room taking up space occupying energy, right? But he's the quieter version. He's a little more focused version. So while Boss Nass is going around the party, slapping people on the back, going, look at all, Dexter's sitting at a table going, oh, it's good to see you again. Oh, what you been up to? And he's like, he's got that warm kind of energy in the corner of the party. All right. So that's nice. It so far. Yeah.
That's very good.
I'm not saying much about this one because I have a feeling you might say more. I do want Obi-Wan Kenobi there. I do want a professional drinker. We need to have him there in the corner. Plus, if anyone starts trying to deal drugs, he can take care of that. I want the Mon Calamari clapping and dancing on Endor. That's just in the background. You need that guy, which I need all the Ewoks. That's dangerous, but I do need all the Ewoks. I need two drinks, Chewy, from the First Light. And then I do kind of want the Codebreaker. I don't know if he's the best at parties, but I do want him because I do like having some games maybe. And then the final one here is Claude, because that's just the Claude's here kind of guy. And also he's probably, well, he would find a way to eat the appetizers, but he's not going to, you know, he's not going to make a mess. Well, now the thing about it, he'll make more of a mess when he has to reach down and use his mouth to get the appetizers. But I do want Claude there because everyone just like, look, Claude's here. He's the guy. And he's the one that shows up with the, did you need two bags of ice? And he's that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that. This is a great list. Yeah, we have some overlap for sure. Kenobi is definitely on the list. Kenobi is, a professional chatter, right? Like,
yes.
He is going to be able to engage anybody. He's going to be the one who makes, you know, people who aren't sure what to talk about. He's going to bring up some conversation. He's going to ask lots of questions, and he's going to share some opinions that are going to be charming, but a little volatile, and get the conversation going, you know?
Yeah.
Also want Leia there, right? Because Leia deserves a good party. She is intuitive. She will sense what the party needs, right? She can hold like really fun, in-depth, serious conversations if it gets serious, but she can also joke around and have fun. So definitely Leia Organa. Look, one of the things that I love about the Jedi Master Yoda is he wants to just have fun. He knows that the light side is about having a sense of mirth, asking weird, challenging questions, and then giggling. Yeah. No, he's going to be the one, if something knocks over, he'll be like, it's fine. It's the, you know, all things are natural in the Force.
Yep.
No reason to cry over spilled flaming alcohol. I can use the Force to put that bottle of broken Tanqueray back together, and there won't be even a bit of glass floating in there. Good, so definitely mirthful Yoda.
Okay. Mirthful Yoda indeed.
Yeah. And then I have some deeper cuts, but my mind goes to some of the big characters. Lando, come on. Just absolute charm fest, right? You absolutely need that huge just burst of charm. I think my answer to your great thoughts of Boss Nass and Dexter you need the big loud person who maybe is the one who shouts that the party should move to a second location at about 1 a.m., you know?
Yes.
The let's all go to Denny's, let's all go to Vegas, you know, look at this ill-advised drink that I concocted, everybody watch me drink it, you know.
Totally.
You know, yeah. So I think that person for me might be Greef Karga.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a big win.
Yeah, imagine everybody walking in the door in grief, yelling how everybody feels about them.
They're all not excited you're here.
They all remember what you did last party, Lando. Yeah.
You weren't invited.
Hey, there he is. Yeah. I'm sure Greef Karga is the kind of person, when he doesn't remember a person's name, says, there they are. There's my buddy. Like, you don't remember my name, do you, Greef? No, but I like you.
Look at this slugger. Yeah.
What a champ. Yeah. this is dangerous. But you know who I think would be fun at a party? Not everyone there would like him, but they'd have to admit that he's interesting. Watto.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Every party's got to have the villain, I guess.
I feel a little bad about it, but like, look, his little scene in Attack of the Clones is so charming.
It is.
You know, he sees Anakin's all grown up, he's like, ho, with the hand and everything.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, he'd fit that energy. I like that.
Yeah. Final person for me, and this is just my own fun, is Mace Windu.
Wow.
Yeah. To just see if he is, if he's capable of loosening up. Or if he's the person, sometimes that makes a party fun. You know, I remember some parties where, like, there was a party I was at once where somebody asked a person what kind of music they like, and the person just said, I don't like music, and everybody's laughed. And they're like, no, it's not really for me. It was like, music?
Yeah.
All of music? Okay.
Just music in general?
And I that would be great to find out, like, Mace is like, well, I don't enjoy drinking. And people would be like, oh, that's okay. No problem. Yeah. You can have a non-alcoholic drink. He's like, no, I don't like the sensation of taking in fluid and like, just weird crap like that.
You also have the Charles from Swingers vibe of, yeah, this place is dead anyway. And like wanted to move it down the line. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So we got a great cast of characters here at our Star Wars Day party. Would you lay any rules down? You know, no blasters, no droids, no Jedi, no using the Force. Any hard and fast party rules that you would lay out there?
I'm good with the blasters being locked up. It is the Star Wars galaxy after all. So, you know, having a tote rod downstairs at the coat rack taking your blasters isn't a bad idea for me. All droids definitely welcome here. Even L3. She might be an interesting energy at the party, but I do want her there. I do want Jedi there. You got Mace. I said Obi-Wan earlier, but I also have this idea of like maybe the Jedi's that break the rules or push the boundaries. Qui-Gon doesn't seem like a great party guy, but I do that vibe. Dooku, by the way, great at parties. This I absolutely believe. So this is the kind of Jedi I would want. But Mirthful Yoda, that probably is the best example of the kind of Jedi I'd want there.
Yeah, no, I mean, Quinlan Vos, he can have fun, right?
Yes. Oh, that's a dangerous invite.
Yeah.
And like the bet, like, oh, we ended up on the roof. Oh, no, there's no roof access.
You know, I realized who we didn't examine on our list is Bad Batch. Do you want Wrecker or is it too big of a risk?
Yes. No, I do want Wrecker there. I want all of them there. I want all of them there because Tech is in the corner, like just looking at the LPs and running down the list of what you got. You know,
yeah.
Like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrecker's like, you got darts.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is, I swear I'll move on from this question, but now I have in my mind, now that I'm thinking of Bad Batch, I want to see a conversation between Tech and Asajj Ventress. I don't know why that amuses me.
Yes. Yes.
Tech trying to tell Asajj Ventress very technical details and her not super being into it seems like a fun party scene. Oh, anyway.
We can't, you know, speaking of, you need to have Chopper at the party.
Well, Chopper's one of my rules.
Oh, it is one of your rules? Oh no.
Yeah, because I realized I think I would have two rules. One would be no red wine or whatever the Star Wars equivalent is. This is something that comes from my wife working at many mansions over the years where people, you know, that they're historically designated. So they're wonderful, beautiful places to be. But also like a part of the job is to use the space so they stay alive. But a part of the job is preservation. And a lot of times people get upset at the like, absolutely wine, white wine.
Yeah,
you're not going to stay in our beautiful historic floor. And I feel like if I was having the party in the Jedi Council room, I'd have to have a, you know, no That's red right. wine.
I can live with them.
And then that led me to like, look, I want to have a really responsible party. So I think my bouncer type would be Chopper, who would take care of it if there was a problem. I think if somebody had a little too much, he would take their space keys and Chopper would take you home.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with this 100%. My worry is that Chopper would, you turn around and Chopper would be drinking.
I would have to research, is it possible for well, I don't know, R2 gets pretty weird when he gets that the whole oil thing in the Clone Wars. So yeah, you're right, there's a flaw in my beautiful plan.
I don't know if it's a flaw, it's not a flaw, it's just something you have to be wary of. This is why I would recommend Black or Santin, because then again, he's not above getting drunk too, but I think
you can't send a Trandoshan home with him.
That's true. I think if he was paid for, he'd be a great doorman.
Yeah. But there is a real risk of my designated droid is off in the corner, you know, zapping people. Like, okay, fair enough. I'll make Tech my bouncer.
I like that.
Any other rules for you?
No. I'm just starting to think of more guests, so we're going to move on. I'm going to force myself to Pelimoto. Pelimoto might be a good party.
The pit droids on the dance floor. Mm. Come on. Busting their little moves. What would you serve? Do you have any like food and drink in the Star Wars galaxy that you're like, that's great for the party?
I'm very simple. You've actually been to some of my parties, Joseph. I'm like, I don't know. I got some candy. You bring what you want. Wendy Lee always brings tacos and that's the greatest thing ever. Occasionally I'll get drunk and order a pizza. So I'm pretty simple. But if I'm throwing this in the Star Wars galaxy, I want a snack from every planet. And is that a lot of snacks? Yes, it is. But one regional snack from every planet. So all snacks are represented.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. I kind of went the same direction of that. We talk about the metaphorical Star Wars buffet, that Star Wars is many things and you can take what you like and leave what you don't. I would want a literal Star Wars buffet. I would want there to be some shack roast. I definitely want there to be some vegan imitation shack roast. Want there to be some Jogan fruit, just a few of my favorite Star Wars foods. And then, man, that jet juice at Galaxy's Edge is real good. So I'd want the jet juice to be flowing.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I did not try that. Probably because I couldn't hear the waiter with the options. Thank you, Rex. Thank you, Rex.
I'm learning so much about your trip to Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. Would you have any special activities or rituals is the way I phrased it, but that's weird. Would you have, would you want there to be any structure to the party, or would you really want it to be a party of just like, everybody shows up for Star Wars Day, there's food, there's drink, there's merriment, there's some music, or would you want there to be something else?
That is my kind of vibe. That's what I look for in parties. You know, a Dothraki wedding with less than three deaths is considered a dull affair. I don't need that on my property or my ship here. Yes, just go with where your heart wants to take you. It might have something set up, you know, some darts, some lawn jarts or something like that. Sure. But I find that most people just love to connect, hang around, maybe have a snack, maybe have a drink. So that's the kind of vibe I want. Nothing that will lead the party in any specific direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I do like having a little something. Like I've had plenty of really great parties that are just like everybody show up and talk, and it's really fun to watch the natural ebb and flow of a party when you get like the first two people there and you have like this quality time for half an hour because they're the only couple that shows up on the dot.
Yes.
And then one more person shows up and then another. And then pretty soon it's just like it just goes by in a blur because it's just this, you know, a really great big party like that. I've loved those. I've also been involved in like some various parties that have a little bit more something to them, like, you know, a pre-wedding party where you kind of, it's mostly just to relax and get to know each other, but there is like toasts.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think because it's Star Wars Day, right? There'd be one thing if it's just like, it's Tech's birthday. It's Pelimoto's work anniversary and we're throwing her a party. Maybe that actually would be conducive to this as well. I think because it's Star Wars Day, I've got my little circular stage in the middle of the Jedi Council room. Mm-hmm. I would have a sign-up sheet for toasts.
Okay.
For people to like stand up, raise a glass, and say what Star Wars Day means to them. And I would have, it would be like a stand-up. You'd get the light.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You can't go over, you know, three galactic standard minutes. And you have to sign up, right? So you know who's coming. So you don't have the awkward, all right, it's toast time. Does anybody want to give a toast? And nobody comes forward. None of that. You sign up.
I love that idea. I also would love to see a light at weddings for wedding speeches too, but that's just me. No, this is great. No, especially for Star Wars Day. And it's fitting for the Jedi Council chambers. This is what you'd want. Some poignant moments.
Yeah, yeah. A glass raised, perhaps with the Force, as the lights of Coruscant twinkle below when we think about what Star Wars Day really means. Well, Chopper is throwing up oil in the corner.
Yeah. You were supposed to keep everyone out. Yeah.
Final question here about the party, Ken. Let's imagine it was a very successful party, but you are feeling a little wrecked the next day. Perhaps there is nothing was broken or destroyed, but there's a mess to be cleaned up. Your cruiser is not in the greatest shape. Who in all the galaxy do you want there by your side to help you with party cleanup?
I mean, I wanted to give them the day off. I didn't think it was fair, but I also think they're the best and you got to recognize the best. And that is simply O-Peep-It. and by the way, Aunt Z would be a great party guest. Kaz would be a great party guest. We're just going to really just include every character at the end of the day here, but O-Peep-It, I think O-Peep-It deserves a day off and deserves some rest and relaxation. I also think O-Peep-It gets a lot of joy and sense of purpose out of cleaning. I think O-Peep-It does the job well and feels it. So I would have O-Peep-It on retainer.
Yeah, I definitely would include Opeepit, and I would give this chance for Protocol Droid C-3PO to shine as well.
Mm.
That he could, he's maybe not personally picking it up, but he knows where everything goes. he could also, you know, help any needs that anybody has, you know, maybe some Alka-Seltzer. 3PO would be on that. So I think between them, Opeepit doing the real hard work for extremely high pay. I would pay the hell out of Opeepit. Yep. And then 3PO, you know, so often he's thrown into chaos. Give him a chance to restore order.
Oh, yeah. Look, you and I had both had a lot of joy watching that Clone Wars episode where C-3PO was planning the party for Padme.
Exactly.
It was great to see him. So, yes, I think he would have a lot of fun cleaning up, too.
He gets to do what he truly was born to do. What a great way to celebrate Star Wars Day. Any final thoughts on Star Wars Day, either the fictional party ones we've had fun making up or the real one here in our real world?
No, this is a lot of fun. Thank you, sir, for putting together these list of questions, because as deep as we love to dive on Force Center here, I'm still not happy with my list of party goers, and I'm going to have this going in my brain for a long time. Poplu, he'd steal all the beer. So this has been a lot of fun. As far as actual Star Wars Day, yes, let's celebrate the spirit, not necessarily how we got here, commercialism, all those kind of things. We can debate those on other times, and we can look at them and say, yep, that's what that is. But this is a day to love Star Wars, and there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think that's my final thought. Is often our discussions of Star Wars Day over the years here on Force Center, you know, we've talked about where it came from. We've talked about the pun. We've talked about how it's changed. And I think I putting together these questions and thinking about it, it was just like a good reminder of like, hey, I get to choose if I celebrate, which I will, and I get to choose how I celebrate. And just that great reminder that, you know, we don't have control over the whole thing. Nobody can wave their hand and say, this is the way we're celebrating Star Wars Day. But we still have our choice as individuals, which means we can impact it, right? If I want it to be a celebration, I can be sure to tweet something celebratory and I can be a part of what I want it to be. And just that reminder that, you know, Star Wars Day grew organically at first because fans were talking about it. So it doesn't just happen. It can really be what we make it.
Absolutely well said, sir.
Excellent. So with that, Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yes, absolutely. We are the Force Center Podcast feed. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Share us your list of Star Wars party guests and the reasons why. I'm looking for threads. All right. We can also be found on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can find us on a lot of spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter, and you can support directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. I want to let you know that at Star Wars Celebration on Thursday, 2 p.m., we, Joseph and I, will be guests on Star Wars Explained. That's Alex and Molly Damon's show on the podcast stage. Going to be a lot of fun. Doesn't look like Jennifer's going to be able to get to that event, but she will be at Star Wars Celebration doing some other wonderful things. We'll update you if that changes. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for more. Joseph, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And of course, you can always go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for more comedy adventures. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Opeepit, this has been Force Center.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.